for us this morning that was maybe a little more encouraging. Certainly, we're not going to be in 1 Thessalonians for a while. And so how long that's going to be, I'm not sure. How long we're going to be able to actually meet is unsure at this point. But I decided to go to Psalm 23 and just run through that. This will be not a normal exposition. It'll be an abbreviated exposition. I'm going to spend actually more time on the opening statement of this than I probably will text, because I think that's the most important part of Psalm 23. Nothing else matters unless that leads the pack. And so this psalm, Psalm 23, perhaps the most famous psalm of all, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, may also be the most comprehensive psalm of comfort and encouragement in all of Scripture. So again, I'm going to go through it fairly quickly today. I'm just going to really give mostly the sense of what the text is talking about. Then all of you should go home and contemplate its parts this week more deeply. Let's go to Psalm 23, read all 6 verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the author of this psalm, King David, was himself a shepherd, and so writes about this shepherd in particular from the experience of what it means to be a shepherd. He was, in fact, King David as a ruddy-faced boy before he became more well-known with the issue with Goliath, a good shepherd, a watchful, protective, and caring shepherd over his sheep, once killing a lion, once killing a bear to protect the sheep that were in his care. And yet, no man born common among men can be a perfect shepherd. Pastors like myself, fulfilling that role of shepherding the body, can be good shepherds, but we can never be perfect shepherds. We can never shepherd without failure. But here, good shepherd David has a shepherd caring for him, and indeed a perfect shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now we must let the magnitude of this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, slip our grasp. The creator of all that exists, even in places we can't see, the sovereign who rules over all of it from his throne in heaven, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, never-changing, all-wise, utterly holy and just shepherd who loves us with an unending love, this Lord is our shepherd. That is a major, major fact of great magnitude. We are facing some very uncertain times. And our shepherd is indeed certain. No matter how crazy it gets out here, no matter how much we don't know, no matter how much information is good or bad one way or the other, no matter how hard it is for us to sort through all of that, there is nothing that he is sorting through, nothing that he is figuring out. It is absolutely and totally certain with him, without a doubt. As the world fumbles to find control of all of this, everything sits safely and calmly in his hand. Listen, we are as blind as the rest of the world right now as to the present outcome of all of this that we're going through. No one of us here has any idea how this is going to turn out, how long it's going to last, how big it's going to be, whether it's going to fizzle out or get worse and worse. We have no clue. But with our shepherd, we can know one thing without any doubt at all, and that is that our future is absolute and eternal. We can know that. None of this will affect our eternity. This opening line, the Lord is our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, is the substance of everything that follows in Psalm 23. I think as human beings, we have a tendency to go to all the verses that follow how all of this affects me. He does this for me. He does that for me. He leads me here. It's all about what God is doing for us. Instead, we need to focus on the fact that it is the Lord Himself who is our shepherd. He is absolutely the focus of this psalm. That opening line is the substance of everything that follows. If that is true, if the Lord is our shepherd, then everything else that follows is true and can be trusted. Now, I want to highlight this magnitude a little bit more. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, which is drawn, I believe, I think, you can't prove it, of course, but I think one of the reasons that the Lord Jesus even spoke these words recorded in John 10 has to do with some of the very same things that David is talking about in Psalm 23. Let's read verses 1 through 18 in John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Let's stop there for just a second and understand what a sheepfold is. A sheepfold is a place where multiple sheep take their sheep, and a porter, another single shepherd, would watch the gate and keep track of all the sheep within that sheepfold. So there were sheep mixed in from all the different shepherds. You know how you can tell one sheep from another? You can't. They all look the same. If you went in there and you said, I want Bob and Lucille, and so you couldn't pick them out one from the other. And so every shepherd would have their own call. There would be a sound they would make. And on top of that sound, the sheep would recognize the tone of the voice. And so it's a remarkable thing. I saw it once on film where a shepherd walked up to a sheepfold, they still have these today, and made that noise, that sound that he made, and you see just certain sheep moving around in the midst of all the other ones, separating themselves from all the other sheep and following just him out the door. That's what this is talking about. Let's pick up from there. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, that means truly, truly. When it's used twice like that, it means it's an emphasis that something that is being said is very, very true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep, not in his heart. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He says, I am the good shepherd. Of all the good shepherds, David killed a lion, and David killed a bear, and he cared for his sheep. And Jesus says, no shepherd, even with all of that, even with the good shepherds on this earth, no shepherd cared more for their sheep than he cared for his sheep. In fact, he says, listen, this is what I'll do. To save my sheep, I'll lay down my own life. I'll do it of my own will and of my own power, but I will lay down my own life. His sheep, it says, his sheep know him. They know his voice. They hear him call their name. They trust him, and so they follow him. As well, his sheep only respond to his voice and his direction, and not that of a stranger. One of the things that's going on right now is we're hearing a lot of voices talking, aren't we? Everywhere we turn, there's a voice telling us something that's frightening and scary, and we need to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, that he's in control and that he's in charge. We note the shepherd leads his sheep. He protects his sheep. He feeds his sheep, and he lays down his life for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my Savior, and my shepherd is Jesus. Now let's go back to Psalm 23 and walk fairly quickly through what follows. Some of which we also found in John, because that opening statement is true, and it is absolutely true about Jesus. It says, we his sheep shall not want. That means we will not lack what we truly need. It doesn't mean we'll have everything we want. It doesn't mean we'll have everything we want in abundance. But it means everything that we need, God will supply for us. I think of the widow of Zarephath, whose cruse of oil and flour never ran out through the entire drought. Every time she stuck her hand in to get a little oil and a little meal to make bread, there was more oil and there was more meal left. It couldn't run dry because it came from his unending supply, a supply that can never run out. Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches. So while store shelves might be empty, our stomachs will not be. Verse 2 says, we will also lie down in green pastures. Now this is significant because, whether you know this or not, sheep are not prone to lie down. Mostly when you see sheep, they're standing. And sheep stand because they're scared all the time. They're afraid of everything. And in order for a sheep to actually lay down, they have to have a sense in which there's nothing to fear. When they have a ramp where they're running sheep down a ramp to take them someplace, if there's a gap in that ramp that they have to step over, the sheep will start halting by that gap. They're afraid of everything. Inside of a building where the sheep are kept, they have to make sure there's no flapping canvas or anything else. All these things scare the sheep. Sheep are afraid of everything. And so a sheep will not lie down unless they feel free from all of their fears. The shepherd makes that possible because in him, by faith, the faith that he gives us, we can know that we are safe and we can be at peace. While the world panics, we're going to act wisely and with restful hearts and not act in fear. He also leads us beside the still water. Now, two things to note about sheep and the reason it says the still water. Number one, two things. Sheep without a shepherd, if you leave sheep on their own, don't watch them, don't care for them, when they get thirsty, they will find water, but they're not discerning. They'll drink from anything they can find. It doesn't matter whether it's bad water, whether it's poisonous water, anything that's wet, they'll drink from. If without guidance, sheep will die by drinking things they shouldn't drink. Any water supply they can find. Number two, Sounds silly. It's kind of like the gap in the ramp. Sheep will not drink from moving water. And so what would happen were streams where shepherds would take their flocks, there would be a pool that was dug out by all the shepherds, a fairly large area pool. And they would run a stream or run a channel off the river and dam it. And when they needed to give water to the sheep, they would release the dam and fill the pool so that the sheep were drinking out of still water. So he leads them to good water, and he trenches a pool for still water so they can drink. We're compared to sheep. We should always bear that in mind. You've never seen a trained bunch of sheep on the road entertaining people. They're stupid, and they're dirty, and they're afraid of everything. So that's the description God is using for all of us. But how bad would it get without a shepherd? What would life be like without a shepherd? Verse 3, he restores my soul. Now, the sheep might lie down in green pastures, but they are prone to be frightened at any time. The shepherd of our soul is always there to restore our peace when it becomes disturbed, to calm our soul. We can always run to him when we fear. Wouldn't it be nice if all we had to do was read all these verses that gave us comfort and encouraged us in our fears, and we simply went down and laid down and rested in the Lord? Now, I don't mean that literally to stay in one spot, but that we rested from all of our fears and never were fearful again. And don't we all have times when no matter what's going on, we find ourselves full of courage and peace about the whole thing, and other times when everything is just scaring us half to death, when we're off course? Sheep will lay down, but they'll seldom stay down. They're prone to be frightened again by something else that comes down the pike and to want to jump up again and not find rest. Psalm 56:3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." That's a song. I don't remember who does that, but "what time I'm afraid, I will trust in you." That precludes "what times I am afraid," that precludes that there will indeed be times that we stand when we should be lying down. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why is my soul disquieted within me?" Paul's feeling all this stress. If some of you felt that this week, and since this thing started, some of that stress and uncertainty, and you want that knot in your stomach to go away, and he says that, "Why is my soul disquieted within me?" And then he says to himself, "Hope in God." He says to himself, "Listen, stop it and find your hope in God. Quiet that down." Now, how does he restore our soul? Well, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That means that where he goes, we must go, staying behind, not in front of him, and not straying away from him. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death." Sometimes we listen to everything that's going on, and we make a decision about what's going on, and we're doing it out of fear. And it sounds like it's a rational, reasonable thing, and yet it turns out to be the way of death. And so we're kind of in those times right now. Let's be cautious. Let's be careful. Let's disinfect. Let's keep our distance. Let's do everything they're asking us to do. But let's not just panic following the voice of a man. Listen, herding sheep is probably only a step up from herding cats. The hymn says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." That's us. As the shepherd is walking, if there's another path somewhere for the sheep to stray and wander off to, they'll go there. The shepherd has to watch them every step of the way to keep them on course. They're prone to wander off. You know the section of Scripture when it talks about the shepherd breaking the leg of the sheep? There's that sheep that usually a small one, a young one, that wanders off all the time. And if it continues to wander off, the shepherd is only going to find it so many times. And eventually a wolf or a bear or something's going to get a hold of that sheep and kill it. And so he breaks the leg of that sheep. Breaks it. I don't have the courage to do that. But he does. Why? Because he loves the sheep and he doesn't want to lose it. And a broken leg's better than death. And while he does, what he does is he sets the leg and carries the sheep around his neck while that leg heals. And when he finally lets that sheep down to walk on its own, it is now attached to the shepherd and stays by his side. It won't wander anymore. We are prone, Lord, to wander, prone to leave the God that we love. Now, verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me." This does not say, and this does not mean, that when we're on our last breath, when we're at death's door, that that's the valley of the shadow of death. Notice, it says we are walking through the valley, which implies an end somewhere. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that means when I find myself in perilous times, when I am threatened by my enemies, when I am on ground that is unstable, when I'm in that valley of the shadow of death, the shadow is not death. When I am there, I will fear no apparent evil. Doesn't mean that evil's not there. It doesn't mean if you're walking on the edge of a cliff on a path that's barely wide enough for your feet that you're not watching every step. It doesn't mean you run through it as if it doesn't matter what you do. God will catch you if you fall. Of course, you watch where you go, but you don't let the fear keep you from walking through. You move forward. I will fear no apparent evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, the rod was really a staff when it was leading, and it was a rod when it was correcting or beating or fending off an enemy or a foe. Shepherd would use that rod to beat off a wolf or a bear. Very likely what David used, at least to some degree, and probably much more than that to kill a bear, certainly. But nonetheless, that rod represents his direction and his protection. Verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Now, this is not about a table full of food, at least not in specific. Maybe in general it might include it, but that's not what it's about. It's about God showing his providential care for us while the world watches. It's about God making his care of his church known to those that are watching. In the presence of even our enemies, God makes his works visible and clear. The Exodus wasn't done at night and nothing was hidden. Manna fell from the sky. If you were living in the area and you went out in the morning when the dew was still on the ground, you would see manna falling from heaven. You would see the fire by night and the smoke by day leading that encampment. God made himself known and clear. Micah 7:16 says, "The nations shall see and be confounded. They will lay their hands upon their mouths and their ears will be deaf." The blessings of God will overflow upon us, it says, in their sight. In verse 6, it is his goodness and mercy that follows us all of our days. And when this life is over, when it's not the valley of the shadow of death, but when we are on the doorstep itself, we will dwell in his house when we leave here forever. And we need to note in every one of these, we are the receivers of everything he's doing. He is the giver of everything being done. He is taking care of us. Sheep are not really self-sufficient. Left to their own, whatever they do will usually lead to their own destruction. We watched a show bored out of our minds yesterday for a while about deaths of celebrities. It's amazing how they strive and strive and strive for all of the adulation and notoriety and and cars. And Michael Jackson was $400 million in debt when he died. In debt. And was so broken in his body from drugs and abuse that he couldn't dance anymore. He couldn't keep up his last concert tour. When we seek everything we think we want in this world, that we think we need in this world without the Lord, it leads to our destruction and brings us nothing. We need the Lord. Our sufficiency is in Him, not in ourselves. Amen? So we're keeping it short today. I've certainly done my best to do so. Hopefully, this has been of some encouragement. Go home. This is a kind of a psalm that we all take for granted, I think. We're all aware of it, but we seldom turn to it. But there's a lot of meat and a lot of encouragement and comfort in these verses. That in these times, our shepherd is the Lord Jesus Himself. So whatever happens, however long this lasts, whether we meet next week or we don't, I've been trying to wrap my head around a resurrection Sunday where the church doesn't gather. And that is appalling to me. And yet I have no idea where we're going to be. So as we walk through this, let's keep in touch with each other. Let's keep each other in prayer. Make sure you go to the Assembly Facebook page and post and stay in good contact with each other. Post encouraging things. Let people know how you're doing. Because we need, the body is the body. The body isn't, we're going to video for a couple of weeks or something. I have no idea. But that's not the church gathering. It is not. And so while we're doing that, we're not doing what God created us to do. We may have to do that. But that shouldn't be our first choice. Keep me in prayer and Jim in prayer as we, which way this should go. I hope that we have good wisdom. We love and care for all of you. And we'll not put any one of you intentionally in any harm's way. So let's keep us in prayer. Let's pray this passes quickly and is done with early. And all of us can get back to, we'll rejoice to be back to the old insanity, won't we? It'll feel good to be overwhelmed with life again, out on the road and moving and doing, even our jobs. So let's close. Let me close with prayer, and then we've got one more song, benediction, and we'll head home. Heavenly Father.